Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Job, the 14th chapter, the first and the second verse. And it says, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue." The Storytelling Time program this week is the third story coming from chapter 5 entitled Fred's Troubles in the book Heaven Can't Wait or Can It? The sequel. The title of the program today is Fred's Journey to Flint. Before we start with our story today, listen to the following suggestions on how to become a professional writer. It comes from a previous podcast where I mentioned 2 of 3 tips given on how anyone can become an author. After this segment, we will start with our story for this week. I'd like to mention some tips I gave you the last time, and hopefully you've utilized some of them in your writing efforts. Those 3 tips are 1. Loving what you are writing about, 2, being patient, and 3, being sure you know the ending point of your story. This week, I want to give you 3 more tips. The first one is to edit. I think the number one obstacle for people writing their book is the fear of making a mistake. Every author, as a matter of fact, has gone through a series of edits of what they've written. That is, every author has made mistakes in writing. If you wait and try to write material that is perfect, where you won't need to edit, you'll be waiting for a long time. The idea is to write something, that is, to identify something that you're passionate about. Don't worry about it being perfect. You can review and edit later. The fact of the matter is that you will have to review and edit what you've written many times. Think of the last book you've read. Well, the author had to go through several edits before you received the final product. It's just like a scene in a movie. We see a given scene as the actors and actresses are saying their lines perfectly, or at least it appears to be perfect. In reality, the reality of the situation is that each scene requires lines being said several times before one is selected as good enough to appear on the screen, one that might seem perfect to the TV audience. And in addition to that, a line might seem perfect to us as viewers, but it may not be. What the audience don't see is all the work that may have gone into producing that line. So, be willing to go over what you've written several times. The second tip I want to talk about today is to write for yourself. That is, write something that you wouldn't mind reading yourself. Reading is a lost art in many places, and some people say they don't have time to read. Well, fortunately today, we have electronic as well as audiobooks where you don't have to read in a traditional manner to comprehend the contents of a book. But the best way of appreciating what a book has to offer is by reading it, however you might go about doing that. As for me, I love reading a good book, that is, in the traditional manner, just like I enjoy watching a good movie. So, when I write material that, at the very least, I have an interest in. Often, when I'm in the process of writing a book, I go back to read what I've written and get a certain level of enjoyment out of it. Our story of the week will start after the following break. Stay with us. Welcome back. When Fred left Courtney, His plans to be with her the following weekend had been suddenly interrupted by his wife's phone call. Maggie asked him to come and help her with a flat tire. Fred wasted little time in getting on the road, and when he did, he was met by driving rain and howling wind. His 3-hour drive led him toward Flint to assist Maggie, who was stranded on the side of the road. Maggie obviously did not know of her husband's intended actions, of Fred's planned meeting with Courtney the following weekend. At that time, she intended to be in Flint, attending her mother's birthday celebration. She patiently waited for him to arrive in order to change the flat tire she had told him about on the phone. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening when Fred answered the call from Maggie. During the 3 hours of his drive, Fred had to confront a rain that had decreased, but the wind was still howling. It was certainly a miserable drive. As Fred drove closer to where Maggie's car was located, the rain had diminished to only a drizzle. Soon he would enter the forested area where she had told him her car was. After making the exit that Maggie had told him over the phone, Fred saw her car about a mile down the road. He soon drove up behind her vehicle and got out. With Fred now outside the vehicle, he was met by only that drizzle. But the wind continued to howl, and the temperature was also an issue. "Boy, it's colder out here than I thought. And this wind is no joke," Fred said to himself. As the wind continued to howl, Fred slowly walked to her car and peeked inside. He found her fast asleep. Fred did his best not to frighten Maggie when he knocked on the window. Then he called her name softly. Mag, wake up. I'm here." Then he muttered to himself, "Let me get in this car because it's so cold out here." Maggie quickly woke up and did not appear to be afraid at all. Rather, she quickly processed in her mind that it was Fred. So she then lowered the window and she said to her husband, "Oh, Fred, I'm so glad you're here. Come on inside for a minute. You need to get out of that bad weather." Then Maggie, still sitting under the wheel, opened the door to the passenger side. Fred came in and quickly closed the door behind him. He leaned over and gave her a kiss, then asked her, "Mag, are you okay?"
"Yeah, Fred. I had such a good nap while waiting for you," she replied.
Maggie quickly tried to change the tone of the discussion after Fred entered the vehicle. She said, "I know I have a flat tire, but I found this real nice radio station. It's so relaxing, don't you think? I just couldn't wait for you to arrive, but I fell asleep with the radio still playing, and that's how you found me when you got here." After greeting Maggie and warming up a bit, Fred said to her, "Well, Mag, I would love to stay here with you, but I really need to get going out there to change that tire. But it won't be long before I finish, and you'll be able to drive to your parents' house, and I'll be right behind you." At that point, Fred got out of Maggie's car. He braved the elements to do what he knew he needed to do in order to get the vehicle functional again. Fred did all the things necessary in changing the tire on Maggie's car, even in the inclement weather that was occurring. After about 30 minutes, Fred knocked on the window as he did when he first arrived on the scene. After Maggie rolled down the window, he said to her, "Meg, everything is ready.
I've changed the tires, so now we both can take off for Flint. You are good to go. As you drive, I can follow you until we get to your parents' house. Yeah, I'll be right behind you. It was only a short drive from where Maggie's disabled vehicle was to her parents' house, but the weather had gotten progressively worse. What was once only a drizzle was now a driving rain, accompanied by rolling thunder and occasional lightning. Soon, Maggie and Fred arrived at her parents' house. Missy was expecting them both because Maggie had called her earlier. They then exited their vehicles and headed toward the front door without umbrellas to protect them from the driving rain. They stumbled forward, walking while attempting to cover their heads with the large coats they were wearing. As they approached the house, her mother, Missy, would be there, waiting to receive them. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. As Fred and Maggie approached the front door of a parent's house, it was such an uncomfortable walk to their vehicles. The howling wind gusts with the constant rain and occasional thunder made the setting within and around the house appear like the set of a horror movie. But Missy, Maggie's mother, was there waiting for them. "Come on in, you two. You look drenched," Missy said. "Hello, Mama," Maggie greeted her mother. Then she continued to say, "Yeah, me and Fred are drenched all right, but we've made it here." Maggie proceeded to lead Fred past the front door and into the house. Once inside, she closed it. Yes, she left all that wind and rain outside where it belonged, she thought. But the sound of the weather had not totally left them, as only a faint sound of the wind and rain remained. While now inside the house, both Maggie and Fred changed into dry clothing, but still desired to warm themselves up a bit. So they took advantage of the large fireplace in the living room by going over and standing in front of it. While standing there, they began to gaze out a window nearby and saw the driving rain that they were exposed to only a short time earlier. They also could faintly hear the howling wind while the raindrops could be heard hitting the roof and the side of the house. It certainly made the both of them satisfied with being indoors, sheltered from those weather elements. After standing in front of that fireplace for a while, Maggie said to her husband, "Boy, this heat feels good, Fred. This fireplace has always given out good heat. I remember it when I was a little girl. I can see it now, standing up late waiting for Santa Claus to come." Then Fred said, "Now, Mag, even as a child, you should have wondered how Santa could have gotten down that narrow chimney and into the fireplace. And what about that fire? I mean, who could have survived that? Not even Santa could survive that." Then Maggie answered her husband, "Now, Fred, it was fun then because it was only make-believe." Then Fred commented, "Well, okay, Mag, I'll accept that." After that brief discussion, and having warmed themselves up, Maggie and Fred were ready to go straight to their bedroom, or at least to her bedroom, the room she had back in high school, and to go to sleep. Maggie had anticipated that she would be with Fred in her own bed that night. Maggie then said to Missy, "Hey, Mama, we're so tired and we really want to go to bed. But how's Daddy doing?" Missy replied, "He's fine. I think he's asleep." Missy understood that Maggie and Fred had a long night because her daughter had such a long wait for her husband to come and fix the car. And as for Fred, he had to drive all the way from Chicago. Missy also knew that Fred changed the tire in what had to be a very bad weather situation. So Missy understood that both Fred and Maggie were looking forward to a good night's sleep. But before they could do that, Missy had some very important information to tell them. Let's take a break. And when we return, we'll find out what Missy had to tell her daughter and son-in-law that was so important. So stay with us. Welcome back. As Missy thought about informing Maggie of Sandra's presence in the house, the weather had gotten better, with little evidence of the drizzle continuing outside. Now it was time for Missy to tell Maggie something that was very important. She began by saying, "Maggie, I have a surprise to tell you." Instead of heading to her bedroom with Fred, Maggie listened to what Missy had to tell her. "Maggie, you know Sandra has been coming here a lot, and she's here tonight," Maggie's mother said to her. "Well, that's interesting," Maggie responded, sounding less than excited about those words. With that answer, Maggie thought, "What in the world is Sandra doing here so late at night?" Then she asked her mother, "Well, Mama, I guess she'll be leaving soon, right?" Then Missy said, "Well, Maggie, she decided to stay overnight." Then Maggie repeated what her mother had said in the form of a question, "Overnight?" Then Missy replied, "Yeah, Maggie, Sandra is staying overnight with us, and she's staying in your bedroom. I believe she's in there now, sleeping in your bed." "What?" Maggie asked in amazement. Then she continued to ask, "She's sleeping where? She's sleeping in my bed?" Maggie clearly showed her disappointment to her mother. Minutes earlier, she was anticipating going to sleep in that bed, her bed, with her husband Fred. She had looked forward to a romantic night and a night of rest in her own room with her husband. She really looked forward to the closeness she desired from him in her own room and bed, a closeness she didn't get when she tried to get Fred to remain in the car when he came to change her flat tire only a short time earlier. Missy went on to stress, "Yes, Maggie, Sandra is in there now. And lower your voice because you might wake her up." "Wake her up? Wake her up?" Maggie asked her mother twice in a derisive tone of voice. Then she had a passing thought. "You gotta be kidding me." Then Missy said, "Well, Maggie, I sense that you're not happy about not being able to sleep in your own bed tonight. But I hope it's okay with you just for one night. You know, Sandra has been so helpful around here, especially lately since you haven't been here much. And Matthew loves her. Yeah, they form quite a bond together." While Maggie tried to gather herself, she soon cooled down after realizing there was nothing she could do about the situation. Sandra would be the one sleeping in her bed on this night. Maggie said to Missy, trying to make up for showing her displeasure about the situation, "That's okay, Mama. All I know is that we need to get some sleep." The situation of Sandra's presence also raised questions in Fred's mind. He asked Missy's mother, "Well, where will we sleep tonight, Missy?" "Me and Meg." Maggie interjected, not allowing her mother to answer the question posed by her son-in-law. "Well, Fred, since Sandra has my room, I can sleep on a bunk bed in a room next to where Sandra will be sleeping. Then Fred interjected with another question before Maggie could finish. Good for you, Meg, but where will I be sleeping? Before Maggie could answer Fred, Missy sensed the concern on both their faces and said, Listen, you two, I know you're exhausted, but don't worry. Maggie, you're right. There's a bunk bed in the guest bedroom where you can sleep tonight. The only thing is that there's only room for one person. So, Fred, you'll have to sleep in the living room where that large couch is. But it's very comfortable, and it's next to the kitchen. Then Missy returned her attention to her daughter. You know, Maggie, I remember when you were small and how you used to get up at night and go straight from your room to the kitchen for one purpose, to get into the refrigerator. You didn't think your father and me knew about that, but we did. But anyway, Fred, tonight it'll be right there for you since you'll be sleeping on that couch in the room next to the kitchen. I do remember that, Mama, but I'm so tired tonight, I'm not even thinking about getting up before daybreak, Maggie told her mother. Missy responded to Maggie, then said to Fred, Okay, Maggie, I know you'll sleep well in there tonight. And Fred, you feel free to get anything you want out of that refrigerator. Thanks, Missy. That'll be fine, Fred said, reassuring her that he had no problem with the sleeping accommodations she had described. He realized that Maggie had enjoyed the same privileges when she was growing up and sleeping in her own bedroom, located so close to the kitchen. But now it would be occupied by Sandra, someone Fred had yet to meet. While Fred had no problem with the arrangement that Missy had established because of the presence of Sandra, it did raise a few questions in Maggie's mind. While Maggie had no reason to dispute what her mother was saying about Sandra being a nice person, she was taken aback with her becoming so close to her parents that they felt that she could stay with them overnight, in her bedroom no less. Maggie then finally said to Missy, Well, I guess these arrangements are okay, Mama, like I said earlier. Maggie gave grudging approval to accept Sandra as an overnight guest. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Maggie hadn't considered that Sandra had become such an important part of her parents' lives. Missy had told her that Sandra even attended church with them on at least two occasions. Yes, Sandra had become very important to Maggie's parents. Sandra had mentioned to Maggie a sermon she heard at Mark Methodist when she went to church with Missy and Matthew. Sandra said that she was particularly interested in the minister talking about how God speaks to people. On one occasion, when Sandra was visiting Maggie's parents, she carried on a conversation with Missy about the subject. She said to her,
Menzie, the minister said that God speaks to us, but I've never heard him speak to me. That's kind of interesting, don't you think?
Well, Sandra, God does speak to us. As Pastor said, he speaks to us sometimes directly through the Holy Spirit. When he speaks to us that way, there's a voice deep inside of us that we can hear and we know that it's him speaking to us. That is, if we are sensitive to that voice. In fact, it's in the Bible. Here, I'll look it up for you. It's in John 10 and chapter 4. And here it is. Let me turn to it. Okay, here it is. It says that if we are his, we will hear his voice and I'm summarizing what this verse is saying. But listen to this. The key, Sandra, is not just hearing his voice. It's our sincerely believing that voice and expecting. And let me repeat that for emphasis. Expecting that God will do what he says. That's what it says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 6th verse. Check it out sometimes for yourself. Now, let me ask you a question, Sandra. Were you ever taught the Holy Trinity in the church?
Well, Menzi, I've heard of the Holy Spirit, but I don't understand it. And Jesus, didn't they kill him? I know he was supposed to have arisen from the dead, but if he did, where? Where did he go? But anyway, to answer your question, yeah, I've heard of the Holy Trinity. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is that right?
Yes, Sandra, that's correct. But I'll confess, I don't know if I can answer some of those other questions you raised. That is, all that we could know about the Holy Spirit, as well as the Holy Trinity, for that matter. But I do know that God lives in us, and as Christians, we just have to believe that. And as far as Jesus is concerned, yes, they did kill him, but he came back to life 3 days later and is now alive and with the Father in heaven. Sandra definitely was not knowledgeable about the spiritual things she was discussing with Mincy, but she did have enough interest to ask her about such basic aspects of the Christian faith. With Sandra's last comment, Missy realized that Sandra did not understand or, more importantly, did not believe many of Christianity's basic precepts, so she did not pursue the topic any further. In the meantime, Sandra said to herself,
I've been in church a long time too, but it's amazing how people can really believe some of these things. God just wants us to be good people, to treat people right.
Despite Sandra's limited knowledge of spiritual things, basic biblical precepts, she was very respectful of Missy and was openly respectful of her beliefs. To her, the world was strictly a physical place, and the only spirits around were those in haunted houses that showed up on Halloween. Well, soon all the discussion would be over and everyone would take their place in their rooms on this stormy night. Sandra was in Maggie's room, presumably asleep, and had not been awakened by all the chatter that had been going on. Matthew also was asleep. Fred would have to wait to meet Sandra the next morning, as well as to renew his association with his father-in-law, Matthew. Well, let's take another break, and when we return, we'll close the show. Welcome back. Well, that's all for today. Return with us next time when we will see how Sandra reacts further to seeing her friend Maggie, and especially Maggie's husband, Fred, whom she had yet to meet. In closing, I'd like to say that whatever you might be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.